At midnight that night, lying in bed in Monte Rico, I thought about Nicole. She was the one woman in the world I wanted in my life permanently, but we were like two stars colliding, consumed with each other, but unable to live together in peace. Every day was a different boundary dispute, every night a passionate reconciliation that mocked the discord of the day. We had to find peace or we'd blow each other apart. My wife Sonia and I had been a harmonious team, married young, falling over each other to oblige. I wasn't such a hard-nosed son of a bitch back then, and it seemed that Sonia was my natural partner, like rain is natural, like the wind and the seasons. Nicole wasn't like that for me. She was an obsession, an addiction, a craving. She and I were like magnetic forces that could repel one moment and attract the next. The highs were higher and the lows lower. But we had to figure out how to live with each other because there was no fulfillment in our lives when we weren't together. When Sonia died, I grieved for 2 years. Then I met Nicole. My life restarted and I was grateful. But I was scared of loving again. I'd loved Sonia with all my heart and soul, but that didn't stop me losing her. Then, when she died, I plunged into depression so profound and awful that death would have been a welcome release. If you haven't been there, it's hard to imagine misery so complete and consuming, a wretchedness that allows no glimmer of hope or chance of redemption, and that endures day after endless day for years. Loving Nicole in the same way was too great a risk. If I was to lose her too, I couldn't imagine the agony of living on. So I held back, and in doing so, risked everything, and that made no sense at all. Over the time I'd been away, Nicole and I had somehow got into a series of competitive silences, neither of us wanting to show weakness and call the other. The most recent silence had lasted a week, and that was stupid. As a global aviation specialist like me, Nicole travelled extensively, which made it hard to get in touch when she was on the road. But I had travelled to the same places, knew the hotels and routines, so I was able to find her. But this last week, I hadn't even tried. Before I left for Lima, Nicole had done her research on Peru. The revolutionary group Sendero Luminoso, the Shining Path, make routine attacks on infrastructure targets and individuals in authority. Car bombs are routine and killings commonplace, she read aloud. The global offices in San Isidro are well protected, I counted. There are 30 known kidnaps a month in Lima alone, quite apart from the rest of the country, and that is thought to be the tip of a much larger iceberg, she continued. She hated the fact that I took risks and thought I had a responsibility to her to stay alive. I liked the fact she cared. I interpreted risk quite differently. If no one was shooting at me, how bad could things be? Kidnap is far less of a problem outside Lima, I offered. Of course it is, said Nicole, because in the countryside the dominant revolutionary group is Tupac Amaru, and they specialize in bank robberies and murder. They also spend half their time fighting Sendero and various Maoist rival groups. You'll be in the city and the country, so you'll be the meat in the sandwich, right in the crossfire. That's a bit harsh, I said. There's not a lot of Tupac Amaru anymore. Sendero and the government forces have thinned them out. In any case, if you had to put up with the corruption of recent governments in Peru, you'd probably be thinking about socialist alternatives too. They're Marxists, not socialists, said Nicole. And I would never subscribe to their philosophy because it's become so confused with the narcotics business, not to mention their links with the Peruvian army, that it's impossible to tell where the drug dealings stop and the revolution starts. It's a mess, and you're going into the middle of it just like you always do. Why can't you stick to the beaten track and act like a normal person? Because I don't want to live in tedious places with boring people doing mundane things. You feel the same way if you'd face up to it. This challenge hung in the air between us, and neither of us spoke.